prayer for next week for the conference in Hot Springs. A lot of interesting things, or, you know, just the way God is going to move. The June has me at a little type of motel hotel near her, and the lady there bring up an interest, and they show up. So just those are the kinds of things we look for and when things are done as unto the Lord. So please keep that in mind. Anything else? Okay, let's get ready for battle. All three. I'm sorry that we have only three classes right now, and I still pray that we'll be able to add more, but three is, I think, is what this size can do right now. And they're all three so very important. Last night, that you not sin, in dealing with a believer not sinning. And, of course, Sunday morning, the test of faith, and we're looking at spiritual love in regard to human relationships. So all of these blend into, as far as I'm concerned, no more important concepts for our life than the three that we're in the midst of looking at. And therefore, we're going to be tested in these three areas. So let's prepare ourselves for battle, study of Scripture. Let's pray. We commit ourselves now, Heavenly Father, to God the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. We pray, Father, that you will protect us from the powers of darkness that would seek to impede our understanding of this very difficult concept of human relationships. Pray, Father, that you will give me the wisdom and even the wording to be effective and clear. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. David, give me just a little bit of volume, just a little bit. What? Okay. What we're looking at is involving in regard to human relationships. Now, it is involved in all human relationships, husband, wife, parent, child, family, friends, local church, all relationships. We're taking a thing, the doctrine. Doctrine says, for the illustration, that it's okay to eat meat, and yet spiritual love is going to dictate another way. Doctrine doesn't always guide. So what do I do when doctrine doesn't guide? What is going to guide me in a human relationship between myself and another believer, be it very intimate as a husband and wife, or very spiritually important in the warfare, believers in the assembly, wherever we are, work, people we come in contact with, what it's going to guide. Spiritual love is what God has given to us. And what spiritual love, it will guide you. And if you are in spiritual love, if you're walking in faith and the Holy Spirit is pouring this love in, believer, you will not wrong. It doesn't mean you won't hurt another person, because as we're studying with Paul in the Saul that is brought on by God, but you will not wrong another believer. You will not do it if you are in spiritual love. Spiritual love cannot do that. But on the other hand, what is going to guide me when another believer does wrong me? Does that give me a right to retaliate? Does that give me a right to act in a certain way? So what happens now? Well, spiritual love also guides when another believer is wrong. It will guide us in how and what we are to do when another believer has wronged us, and so that we don't get out of the plan of God, so we don't get ourselves disoriented. Now, we have been studying over time. We've seen what spiritual love acts like, and this becomes so important in Scripture, what spiritual love acts like, what spiritual love looks like, and we have seen what spiritual love sounds like. And God cares very much. Like, for an example, spiritual love does not act unbecoming in an unbecoming manner. And I saw an article in the paper, and I thought how beautifully it fits into this whole concept of what we're studying, how the Bible does not define spiritual love. what the Bible does do, it describes spiritual love. It describes when spiritual love is present, the environment that spiritual love makes, and it describes when spiritual love is absent, the environment. And this article has these things with little boxes, little bullets, of Mary shows the reader what love isn't. And I'm going to read through these and just think of all the things that we've been studying. Coming home half drunk. Spiritual love, how it acts. Spiritual love does not act unbecoming. Standing her up now. These are from the woman's standpoint, but they calculate both ways, obviously. Standing her up for a very important occasion, like the celebration of the birth of a child. Screaming. What does spiritual love sound like? Screaming. Screaming, and then it says screaming, you're fine, when the wife feels very sick or very frightened. Another bullet, calling her a liar when she hasn't lied. And even that, and let's say, you know, here it adds when she didn't, but let's say she even did. Is spiritual love going to call people a liar in that kind of sense? Being nice only when you want something, like sex. Calling her stupid, ignorant, or a female dog. Saying, you see, here again, what we're doing is we're seeing when love is not present. We know when spiritual love is not present. These are just some examples of this type of thing. Saying you think you're always right after asking her opinion. I love that one. You ask somebody their opinion and then start in on them. Thinking always of what will make you happy, not your wife, not your child. One of the biggest problems in regard to spiritual love and even desiring spiritual love is arrogance. Arrogance is the biggest enemy because arrogance is occupied with self. It's occupied with self. People, the way that you are going to have spiritual love flow through you is one of the biggest enemies to arrogance, to self. And self always wants to be in control. It always wants to be in control with everything and everybody. And with spiritual love, all of this is a clouds of things that are totally opposed to spiritual love. Totally opposed to spiritual love. It becomes so important to see some of these things. Criticizing your wife in front of other people, or even worse, criticizing her in front of her children. Saying you're going to inflict physical harm because you don't like what she's doing. This again, I want to be in control. But isn't the man supposed to be an authority? Well, we'll come to that in our study tonight. But it comes to a very important principle. That's why I introduced it this way. What happens when, what does spiritual love do when the other person doesn't do what they're supposed to do? Does this give me a right to, now I get out of line? And that's why last week we saw what is so beautiful about spiritual love is that being long-suffering, spiritual love allows you to maintain your spiritual momentum, and spiritual love being kind will create an environment that will make it very easy for that other person to move back into the spiritual life. What happens so often is somebody wrongs us, so here we are, and let's say that we're walking in the spiritual life, I say, and here's another believer, husband, wife, friend, whatever it may be, they wrong us, so we get out of the spiritual life. And then we charge in, and we create an environment where they remain out, and it just gets worse. What spiritual love will do, first of all, it creates this immune system around you where the wrong that they have done does not cause you to get out of the spiritual life. And therefore, since you're not out, what comes from you by this love, for it is love that is kind, not us, what flows out from you is this kindness. When that is not what they deserve, but we saw the passage that the kindness creates an environment that will lead them back into reconciliation, back into the spiritual life. Kindness of spiritual love creates that environment that makes it very easy for that person to move back into the spirit-filled life, ordering her to stop and crying, or insisting that that didn't hurt, and you exaggerate everything, saying things like, "If you don't like it, leave." Isn't it wonderful that our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ doesn't say that to us? His love is always to do what? His love is always to bring us back into reconciliation. That's what God is about, bringing us into reconciliation. Self-injuring or even threatening to do so, making her life miserable when you're at home. And I've seen that so often by men and women that make life so miserable for everyone in the house. Okay, this is what love doesn't sound like. This is the way love doesn't act, those things we saw. And what I want you to see by that list is that spiritual love creates an environment. And you can tell when there is spiritual love. And the absence of spiritual love creates an environment. And you can tell when spiritual love is absent by the environment. And if a believer is testing himself, one of the fastest ways to know that I'm not in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, is by watching, as far as spiritual love is concerned, from my study in 1 John, and which is the whole book about spiritual love. It's one of the fastest ways to judge, to test ourselves in regard to our life in the areas of spiritual love. Now let's resume our study with 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We come to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 as per 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul makes an astounding statement, which I'm sure would be battled by people if it were up for discussion. I can only imagine the type of things that Paul had to put up with so often, with things that he said, and all of the other writers of Scripture. But fortunately, now today, it's just there. And what he said is, in 1 Corinthians 13, that if I had all knowledge and understood all the mystery, which is just an awesome statement, I understand all the mysteries, which is understanding Christ, but do not have love, I am nothing. So here's a person saturated with knowledge, doctrine, and is nothing because of the absence of spiritual love. So that took us to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're looking at verse 1 now, and moving through it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, we're looking at the first aphorism, the first precise little statement that Paul makes without any development of it, and he says that knowledge makes arrogant. Knowledge makes a person arrogant. It builds you up. And remember what we're looking at in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, that all these spiritual gifts and all these things exalt the believer. If you have a certain spiritual gift, if you have knowledge, communication, whatever it may be, and something special, it kind of exalts us a little bit and has a very deadly potential in that respect. Spiritual love, people, will not only not exalt you sometimes, spiritual love will humiliate you. Spiritual love will make you look very weak in the eyes of someone else, husband, wife, parent, child, friend, somebody. It will make you look very weak. It will make you look very foolish sometimes. But I remind you, your Savior looked very weak and very foolish on the cross. And it was on that cross that he defeated Satan, bore the punishment of sin, redeemed us. So just remember those kinds of things. For one reason, people don't really like spiritual love and prefer knowledge, or prefer the spiritual gift, or prefer something else. It's because spiritual love will not always exalt you. In fact, rarely will. Most of the time, you will look weak and foolish to others. This is why it is not something that is often sought after and tried to be hidden or just shoved aside with some type of nomenclature, because it is not a desirable thing in the flesh to be look weak and look foolish. And so we have to understand this. If someone wrongs me, I don't want to just have to telltale to that, and it makes me look weak. And spiritual love, if you recall, we've read it so many times, I thought about reading it again, but that long list of 1 Corinthians 13, but it doesn't consider when wrong. It just doesn't. Another person comes up and says, you're wrong for eating that meat. Well, I don't want you telling me and judging me and running my life. Spiritual love doesn't think that way. Spiritual love says, fine, I won't eat it. That's the way spiritual love is, and we don't like that in a John Wayne society, John Wayne Christian society. So we have to understand, I'm not always going to look so glamorous before the world, but neither did my Savior. And we are to walk and follow Him in the first advent. So he says that knowledge makes arrogant, and he says, but love edifies. And we've seen the three areas now, very important areas in regard to edifying, building up, and we spent some time on the Word. And the first area, spiritual love, this is what he's talking about. Spiritual love edifies. Now, what does this mean, spiritual love edifies? First of all, and very important, people, spiritual love will edify you. Now, what we're talking about here, when other people hurt you, wrong you, judge you, in any kind of reaction, whether they're right or wrong, or maybe not even aware of what they're doing, but other people have hurt you, so here's the other believer, and they have in some way, and I'll just put the word hurt, attacked, offended, put you in a bad position, whatever it may be, this believer has hurt you. What spiritual love will do in edifying you? It will protect you from this so that you will continue to walk in the power of God the Holy Spirit, and He can continue to pour in this spiritual love inside of you. Because what happens so quickly, it is amazing how quickly we can get out of the spiritual life. It is boggling to us how the old man and the new man are right there, boom, 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 how quickly we can get out. And so what happens is most of the time we're more prone to getting out of the spiritual life and taking care of that believer, straightening them out, getting this taken care of. So then we're out. Well, what spiritual love does, people, is so phenomenal. What spiritual love does, no, it edifies you. It builds you up. It protects you here so that you maintain the spiritual life for yourself. You don't react and get out of your relationship with the Lord. Then secondly, and spiritual love cares, in fact, this is the direction of it, but spiritual love cares very much about the other. So the second thing that spiritual love does, spiritual love edifies the other believer. Spiritual love edifies others. And we spent some time on that one. And this is very important, and it's what I was saying a moment ago. Now what it will do is, since you are edified, and you haven't gotten out of the Holy Spirit, you haven't gotten out of spiritual love here, and now what can come from you, this is the long suffering, by the way, of spiritual love that protects you. Now, what comes out from you is this kindness. And this kindness now will edify the other person. It creates an environment that makes it very easy for them. And we looked at Romans chapter 2. Why do you have such contempt, God speaking, for kindness? Do you not know that the riches of my kindness do what? Lead you into repentance. Lead you into back to a relationship with Him. So what spiritual love will do, people, is create an environment for that other person to lead them back into the spiritual life. It creates that kind of an environment. Now the third area, and the way that this thing proceeds, the third area of edification or edifying, spiritual love edifies, it now edifies what? Your relationship with that person. They respond, they get back in the spirit, you remain, they get back, and I'm using for an example that they were wrong in what they did. And you get back, and now your relationship, whether it's the marriage, whether it's a friendship, a local church, work, casual acquaintance, whatever it may be. Now, this relationship is now edified. A lot of people don't think much about this, but we spent some time looking at some passages. The whole thing of 1 John chapter 1 is about what? Relationship. I write these things that we have fellowship with the Lord, with each other, and our fellowship is with the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing from sin and what? And it brings about this relationship with each other. God is very concerned about human relationships. Very concerned about it. And that's why spiritual love, what it says here, is that spiritual love edifies. Now, in our context, knowledge says that all things are lawful for me. I can eat of the meat if I please. It's a good example because that's not our problem today. The people, it could be anything. It could be a multitude of things that come up between a man and a woman, between friends, in a local assembly, where I have my rights and I can do this. I can do that. And you're wrong in telling me I can't. And so this makes a perfect illustration of that. And so knowledge doctrine says I can eat the meat if I so please. But spiritual love adds, but all things do not edify. Spiritual love adds, yes, I can do these things, but these things do not edify another person. In fact, it can cause them harm. So therefore, spiritual love says, even though I have a right to eat of this meat, even though they are wrong in judging me, and they are legalistic, they are religious, and even though they are wrong in doing that, spiritual love says, I won't eat. People don't like that. Maverick Christian, John Wayne Christian, doesn't like that. I'm talking about what Scripture is talking about in regards to spiritual love. Spiritual love says, I won't eat. How did Christ love people? His love was sacrificial to self for the benefit of another. And sometimes when you sacrifice out of spiritual love, you're going to look weak and foolish. But so did our Savior. So often. So many times. So you just, we have to understand what is going to happen with spiritual love. So again and again, even though we're not under the law, we're not lawless. We studied that. In fact, as Paul states, what Paul says is we're under a higher law, and that's, we're dealing with spiritual love. Now, the problem is, people, here's the problem with the higher law that we're under in Romans 8. Here's the problem. Under a higher law. Okay, great. What is it? I want to see it. I want to see this law. But he says in 2 Corinthians 3, this law is not written. It's not written on stone, like the Mosaic law. It's not written on stone. This is not written on clay. We don't have a written code, people. That's what's tough about walking in the spiritual life and spiritual love. Boy, I just wish I knew. I wish I knew. See, the thing about law is that here it is very clear. And I can go to law and I can say by law this and by law that. And by law 834, you're wrong. And by law 763, I'm right. And I can go to bed feeling very comfortable standing on solid ground of the law, and that's why people like law. There's no law that I can go read to you. There's no law in human relationships. There's no law that's going to tell me exactly what to do in a given situation, day in and day out with my husband and my wife, my parent, my child, friend, school, wherever I am. So did God leave us blank in that area? No. That's why he gave to us the Holy Spirit who pours in spiritual love, and spiritual love will guide. Problem is, it may not always guide the way we want it to guide. It may not always make us look good. But spiritual love doesn't consider those things. Does not consider when wrong. It's not its purpose. It's not its purpose to exalt you. Its purpose is to exalt Christ. That's the purpose of spiritual love. So this is not written on any kind of a stone. It is written in your heart by the Spirit of the living God. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, How do I know what to do in every human interaction relationship? Can I know? Boy, if I just, you know, there's this idea, if you just had enough doctrine, you'd get the right doctrine. No, you wouldn't. If I just, things that we've been studying, very important. If I just knew enough about women, then I'd really know what to do. If I knew enough about men, I'd know what to do, because men are from one planet and women are from another. And so our sexual makeup makes a whole difference. People, that's a lie. It's a lie. The old man of the female and the old man of the male act the same way. All kinds of circumstances. And then that type of thinking feeds, well, that's the way I am because I'm a man. I don't have to be thoughtful of you because men are supposed to act that way. Women are supposed to act that way. And you just have to understand it. It's a cop-out. It's a very subtle way of, I don't have to use spiritual life. I don't have to walk in the spirit. I don't have to be thoughtful of you. You have to be thoughtful of me. Me. A spiritual love is sacrificial to self for the benefit of someone else. This is not pleasant teaching, and I know that. This is scripture. This is what spiritual love does. This is what it's designed to be. And by the way, it's what brought you into eternal redemption, people. It's this love. It's what defeated Satan. It's this love. It's what pleased God on the cross. It's this love. Find me something more powerful than that. To do all three of those things. And this is the same love that flows and can flow through each of us. So, how can I know when I can eat, when not to eat, when to speak, when not to speak, what to say, what not to say, when to be silent, when to be this, when to be that? It's just so difficult to live around. It's just this and that. It's so difficult to talk with people. There is no written law. I don't care how many human books are written. I don't care how many books are written about men and women. I don't care how many books are written about everybody that's 20, everybody that's 25, everybody that's 35, and deal with it that way. Culturally, age, sex, income, race. I don't care how many millions of books you can write. They're not going to hit it. They're not going to hit it. God's given it to us. It's true. It's grace. All you have to do is allow the Spirit to pour in this life. That's all you have to do. And this love will direct. The last thing that Paul says, love never fails. Can I really trust the Holy Spirit? Let me rephrase that the way most people are. I can't trust the Holy Spirit. I really don't know. Love never fails. Never. Spiritual love will not fail. Now, it may not make you look great, and it may not even bring the other person into repentance. Don't get me wrong. Many people reject the kindness of God and just spend eternity separated from Him. But it'll never fail as far as your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ and with the other person. So spiritual love guides in edifying all of these areas that I had on board. It edifies, first of all, very important, it edifies you, keeps you in the spiritual life. It edifies the other person, creates an environment where they can get back, and now it edifies your relationship with them. It now edifies or builds up that marital relationship. So when you understand how Christ loved, and we've studied it a million times, Christ loved sacrificially the self for the benefit of another. So therefore we come to the question, I have a right to do this. I am the husband. I am in authority. I am King Kong. I am Tarzan. You, Jane, I'll throw you out of the tree. This type of stuff going on. No, he loved sacrificially. He loved sacrificially for the benefit of another person. And benefit is a spiritual benefit to bring them back. Not beat them back, command them back, lead them back, create an environment that brings them back into a relationship, not with you, but into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So what we're seeing now is adding to this knowledge that we're looking at in 1 Corinthians 13, to this knowledge adding spiritual love. And it is spiritual love that is going to alchemize that knowledge, that is going to penetrate and make that knowledge so useful as far as you are concerned in your life. We have noted the effect of it in regard to you, regard to the other person. This is what spiritual does. Look with me at Romans 10:23 a moment. Oh, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 10:23. I'm sorry, not Romans. 1 Corinthians 10:23. This flows through Paul's writing, and I've just taken out a few passages that we can see some of these principles at play. Now, it's a powerful statement. All things are lawful. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Now, profitable. This does not mean profitable in the worldly sense. This doesn't mean profitable in human terms. This is profitable, people, in why we are here on earth spiritually. This has to be a reality to you. This has to be a reality to me all the time. Every human relationship you come in contact with, marriage, whatever it may be, the most intimate of relationships and the most distant of relationships, whatever it may be, we are one day going to stand before Jesus Christ and have our lives evaluated. This should be a reality to you. This is a very temporal journey. It's a very temporal pilgrimage here. We're going to spend eternity with Him. Therefore, what spiritual love is doing, it's living your life in view of your eternal estate with Him. And if we look at what Jesus Christ is about, Jesus Christ is about. What He is about reconciling man to God. This is what He's about. This is what we are about. This is the greater work, principle of ambassadorship. The word to edify, again, those three areas that we've noted. It is spiritual love that will guide when doctrine does not. When doctrine doesn't guide. I wish I had a doctrine. I wish I knew what doctrine said to do right now. What does doctrine say to do when my husband is this way? What does doctrine say to do when my wife's that way? Well, I just wish I had a doctrine. The only doctrine I can come up with is that I'm King Kong of this house. The only doctrine I can come up with is I'm supposed to submit no matter what he does, and I don't like it, so I'm leaving. We're so arrogant. We're so self-centered. I'm more important. I'm the issue. And spiritual love just will not allow that kind of thinking. What does it say? Spiritual love is what? It is not arrogant. And it's interesting, the very next one after that is, does not act unbecoming. Arrogance is not thoughtful of others. And yet it thinks that it is. Arrogance centers everything around me. At marriage, at work, church, friendships. But what spiritual love does, it says the other person and the other person's relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, what is love? I wish I could get it defined up here. People, it's not defined in the Bible. It's described in the Bible. Here we have all things are lawful. And when we talk about all things, we're not talking about sin is lawful. It's not what Paul is doing. The word law here deals with all those restrictions of the Mosaic Law. It's not talking about sin. It's talking about the number of things that have come up now becoming legalistic and religious taboos. And they are lawful. There are no restrictions against them. Now, what's going to guide me in all of these matters? What is it? Is it going to be knowledge? Is it going to be doctrine? Because doctrine is going to fail you, people. And I've done, because by knowledge of doctrine, I can eat of this meat. By knowledge of doctrine, I'm this or that. By knowledge of doctrine, I'm an authority. By knowledge of doctrine, I have to do this and you have to do that. That's what doctrine says. It's not going to guide in how to use that authority. It's not going to guide in how to submit. It's spiritual love that's going to do this. This is why there's no law. This is why nobody's going to come up with a book and say, every time, this is what you do. See, that's what's difficult about this. There is no every time with spiritual love. Every time, this is going to happen. No, it's not true. take the same circumstance. I was misunderstood in using this example, so I'm going to be very careful. In two different marriages, take the same circumstance. And the Holy Spirit can lead in one way there and in another way here, people. It isn't under law. But it is there to edify. And that's how you will know when spiritual love is going to guide. All right, let's look at 10:23 a moment. 1 Corinthians 10:23. But not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Okay, two words. Let me put it this way. Let me show you what we have, so that you'll see how all of our study kind of blends together, and we can use it all the way through. What have we learned? We have learned that spiritual love is a force. And as a force, spiritual force, it has the three properties of a force. It has direction. It has, and this is in our study toward other human relationships, it has magnitude, and that's the measurability, and love can be measured. No greater love hath any man than this. And it has an impact or an effect. Now, what does this right here mean? What you have here in 10:23 are two impacts. These two words describe the impact or the effect of spiritual love. Spiritual love is profitable. That's an effect of spiritual love. That's an impact. That's an impact. When spiritual love is manifested, it is profitable. And secondly, it is edifying. These are two impacts of spiritual love. Do I know if spiritual love is present? Do I know in my own soul? Is it profitable? Is it edifying? Spiritually profitable, spiritually edifying. We have to ask ourselves, can one thing really be so powerful, so inclusive? People, yes. And that's why I tried to show you that spiritual love, the love of God, divine love, and then the love of Christ, these are the great issues in all of the spiritual warfare. The holiness of God is extremely important, and Satan's banking on the holiness of God to send us all to the lake of fire. The love of God that blasted him in the face. It's the love of God that defeated Satan. It's the love of God that redeemed us from sin. It's the love of God through Jesus Christ that pleased God. Yeah, one thing can be that powerful. One thing can be so all-inclusive, and it's spiritual love. Love that is poured into our soul by God the Holy Spirit when we're walking in the Spirit. See? What is it like when spiritual love is present in you? It's like a force. It's like that force of gravity. And it's going to have this effect. It's going to be profitable. It's going to be edifying. The relationship that you are involved in, whatever relationship that you're involved in, and it isn't going to make an issue out of you, and it doesn't care about you. That's one of the most important things about it. Love does not consider when wronged. And yet that sounds so foreign. No. People should not be allowed to wrong other Christians. Spiritual love doesn't think that way. Spiritual love will go to the cross and die for its enemies. You don't like spiritual love, then you don't like your salvation. Because spiritual love provided you salvation out of the love of Christ. He died on the cross for us. And out of love, God the Father offered him up. Let's take a look at profitable, so that we'll see what's going on. The word profitable is a compound. The root of it is Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh, P-H-E-R-O, long O, Pharaoh means to carry. Means to carry is the basic idea, to bear. Then it has a prefix, sum. There's a prefix, sum, S-U-M. And that prefix means with or together with. A compound comes together to mean to bring together, to contribute to. To bring together, this is important, right out of a lexicon, to bring together for the benefit of another. To bring together for the benefit of another, profitable. So this concept is at the heart of what? If we think about it from that aspect, to bring together for the benefit of another, this is at the heart, people, of a very important doctrine to every one of us here, the doctrine of reconciliation. Because it is through the work of Christ on the cross that God reconciled man to himself. This is what God is in the business of. He's not in the business of scrapping. He's in the business of reconciling at any cost. It cost him his son. Okay, I'll pay it. He's in the business of reconciling believers when they're in sin. That is fundamentally what God is in the business of. No, God's in the business of righteousness and judgment. And no, at the second advent, people, he's going to come wailing a sword of judgment. But what God is in the business of is in the business of reconciling man to himself, bringing man to himself. Satan says, no, I can keep them in my kingdom. I keep all human race in my kingdom. And God says, no, you don't. No, you don't. My love is so powerful, it will redeem them out. And so Jesus Christ, we studied this in The Mightier Man years ago, Jesus Christ came into Satan's kingdom and defeated the Mighty One. We studied that under The Mightier Man. And what did he do? He snatches out of Satan's kingdom everybody who will come to him. And then as born-again believers, we have the same principle. He's not in the business of keeping a believer in sin. That's not God. God, understanding him, is in the business of bringing us into reconciliation with him. And his love does that. The manifestation of his love does that. And that's profitable. It's profitable to God. It's profitable to us. I want to note a few principles. No, we don't do this a whole lot now, but let's note... let's see, three or four, I think, all I have here. I won't burden you with them. But one, now just looking at spiritual love is profitable. The word here means to bring together. To bring together. One of the great effects or impacts of spiritual love, people. Now think about this. One of the greatest effects and impacts of spiritual love is to bring together. Love has a magnitude, direction, impact. And here is the effect of spiritual love to bring together. When one believer loves the spiritual love and the other believer will respond to that, it does what? It brings them together. This is what spiritual love is designed to do. God so loved the world. Let's use this whole concept we've been studying with John 3:16. As a spiritual force, spiritual love has direction. As a spiritual force, spiritual love has magnitude. And it has an effect or an impact. Okay. For God so loved, here's God and his love. For God so loved the world. And the world here refers to unbelievers, his enemies, who have shunned, spurned, and cursed him. For God so loved the world. What's the magnitude of his love that he gave? He gave to death, he gave his son, his only son, whom he loved, Jesus. From our study in Genesis 22, he gave his only son, the son whom he loved, to die on the cross. Now what is the impact or the effect? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Has the life of God. Has the life of God. Reconciled to God, brought back to God, something we lost in the garden. People, that's powerful. This is what love does. It reconciles back. And now, as born-again believers, that happens at the cross, and the same thing happens now. What happens is, in most human relationships, I care more about me being right, and me getting my way, and me controlling, than I do reconciling that other person. First to Christ, and then in our relationship. And that's the way the flesh thinks. And it's totally opposed to this. In most human relationships, I care more about me. I want what is rightfully mine, in my position, in my place, in my person. Because I deserve it. I'm entitled to it. And you very well may be. And because of that, spiritual love becomes. Until I get my way. What spiritual love does, spiritual love has another thing far greater than that in mind, reconciliation. Get this thing straightened out so that this marriage, this church, this friendship, this business deal, whatever it may be, to move on into the plan of God and the purpose of God's plan, people. This is why it's so overlooked and not seen, because it does not want to be seen by the flesh. The flesh does not want to see spiritual life. It's here. You can read it anywhere in any of the epistles. It jumps right out at you. How has it been missed? I had a pastor ask me that several years ago, and he's now shunned the whole teaching. But when he first heard it, he said, how has this escaped us for so many years? This is powerful. I'd like to be able to talk with him now, because he's shunned the whole deal. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is, people. In fact, I'm trying to paint as I can the best picture I can for you. You will look foolish sometimes, and you will look weak. But that's not the purpose, to make you look good. The purpose is to bring people back to Christ. Create an image of Christ, an environment of Christ, wherever I am. This is powerful. That we can have this kind of love. The same love that was at the cross, you take into your home, your work, your pleasure, everywhere you go. You carry that same love that's on the cross, wherever you go, people, if this love is flowing through you. And it's a powerful thing to have flowing through us. Secondly, this is truth of divine love. This ideal of reconciliation is true of divine love. God loved us, and his love for us brings us together with him as unbelievers into reconciliation with him. This is how powerful his love is. This is why spiritual love is so close to faith, people. This is why it's so close. That's why Paul says nothing else matters in Galatians 5. Nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. They're so close. This is why in writing the letter to Thessalonians, he says, your faith is increased and your love is increased for one another. Why are they so together? Because as we walk by faith, the love increases in its magnitude. The more you learn to walk in the filling of the Spirit, spiritual love is increased in its magnitude. Increases in regard to our walking. So, this is true of God's love in reconciling us to himself. When you and I respond, when we respond, and the only way we can respond to his love is by faith, when we do respond to his love, what happens? We're in reconciliation with him. We're in union with him. There is such a close tie. Such a close tie. Often when I use the illustrations, I don't talk about passionate nights between a husband and wife. I don't talk about days when you're walking together and you're laughing and you're enjoying each other, and there's no tension or problem. Why not? Because it's in the point of the illustration, love is there. You're reconciled. That's what love has done. What I'm talking about is when it's broken for some reason, and it will be broken all the time between friends, between husband and wife, family, friends, local church. This is something Satan cannot stand as a demonstration of this love. He loves law. He does not want this love because this love defeated him. But that's the perfect illustration of the reconciliation. It will bring you back to that point. It'll bring you to that point. What is this marriage about? This marriage is about two becoming one for the glory of Christ. At least that's what it should be. What is this assembly about? This assembly is about coming together to worship God together and fulfill the plan of God and glorifying Christ as a unit of believers. What's this friendship about? This friendship of believers is about glorifying Christ. It is going to be attacked. Marriages, friendships, local assemblies, casual acquaintances, they're going to be attacked, people, all the time. Satan can't have it. He cannot have this love because he hates it. He hates this love because it's what defeated him on the cross. It's this love. It's what threw the curve and ended his being, his domain. So God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died and brought us together. We're united with God when we respond to that love. You say yes by faith in Christ, that love, and boom, what are you? You're in union with him eternally. And now temporarily in our life, it's the same principle. We respond to that love because what does 2 John say in 1 John? Do we have to turn there? The blood of Christ keeps us in fellowship with each other. It unites. That's what it's designed to do. It's profitable. It's profitable. We are brought together, unified. And that's what sympharo means. It means to be brought together, to contribute, to bring together for the benefit of another person. So this is the impact of it. Point three. This continues to be true. Point three, two, dealt with the unbeliever. This continues to be true for the believer. It is the love of God that brings us together with God, because he loves. And that love demonstrated by offering, as a burnt offering, his son on the cross, and then as when we are believers and we are in sin, that same work is used as the foundation for bringing us back into fellowship with him. People, you have no merit as a believer as when you're in sin. It's still the same thing. It's going to be his love that is going to reconcile us right back to him again. This is the way he functions with us. And this is why he wants you to walk in this love, so that you have that relationship with him. Point four. The effect of spiritual love then is to bring together, to help, to be advantageous, to be profitable. Is my relationship right now with this person profitable to them and their relationship with Christ? You can test yourself. You can test yourself. Have the easiest message to do a marriage series for teenagers, and it's so powerful. Better than anything I've ever done, seen done, heard done. And this guide is what I'm doing to this person, edifying them in Christ. It's a perfect text. You don't need to juggle. You don't need to rationalize. You don't need to, well, doctrine says I can do this, and doctrine says I. You don't have to do any of that. And you don't have to get into an argument. You don't have to get into an argument in counseling. Talking to a pastor the other day, talking about counseling. Counseling, bad word. I blew his mind when I said, no, it isn't. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you not want to give a gospel, salvation one, to every unbeliever you could possibly meet? Oh, yeah. And I said, that's counseling, and that's what I want to do for every believer, is give them salvation to. I want to counsel anyone and everyone who would listen, because it's a simple and easy method. I don't have to say, oh, you'd be afraid of counseling. Boy, do I really know enough? No, you don't know enough. You don't know all the facts, all this kind of stuff. I don't have to know. I know enough. And I want to, because it's so simple. I want to counsel every believer just as much as I want to counsel every unbeliever. I don't want to shun away from any unbeliever. I want to tell them about faith. I want to tell any believer about faith, because people are believing the power of the Holy Spirit and spiritual life. And what Scripture makes it very clear that it will do. It has the impact of being profitable. This is the quality of spiritual love. This is the impact or the effect of spiritual love. It is profitable to your relationship with Christ. It is profitable with your relationship with others. It is profitable with your relationship with the Father. It is profitable with your relationship with every person that you meet. So this is an unbelievably powerful thing. This is the same word used in John 16, the prophet. This is the same word used in John 16:7, where Jesus Christ actually says, it is to your advantage, to your profit, our word, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate shall not come to you, but if I go, I will send him. Okay, it is to our profit. It is to our advantage to be brought together with God daily by the Holy Spirit, and that can only be if Christ leaves. If Christ leaves, then the Holy Spirit can take up residence in every one of us. It's to our profit. It brings us together with Christ. It brings us together with God. It brings us together with each other. If Christ leaves and sends the advocate, that's for our profit. That is for our relationship with God. And finally, five, and we'll close with this one. Again, knowledge recognizes that all things are lawful. Spiritual love, however, seeks what edifies. Spiritual love seeks what is profitable for all. Spiritual love is not concerned about what is lawful for me, what's right for me, what's my price, my privileges, my position. But spiritual love concerns about the spiritual condition of another. We live in a day and a time when we're so absorbed by our society. What are my rights? What are my rights? Spiritual love is not concerned with its rights. People, if love is concerned with its rights, Christ would not have died on the cross. He didn't have to. He could have spoken, and all the Romans and all the Jews and everybody else be dead. Not concerned about rights. It was a court procedure that was so wrong, it was unbelievable. Didn't care about that. Not concerned about that. His love had a greater objective, and that was to what? Reconcile man to God. So didn't consider all the wrong. Doesn't have to. Doesn't need to. It has an objective: reconciliation, profit, edifying. That's what it's dealing with. So we have to understand these types of things. There's a multitude of things. And people you just got to come to the clarity of this from Scripture. There's just a multitude of things that you can do in a relationship. Knowledge, doctrine will permit. You can walk away. You can live and let live. You can even go after someone who sinned and sinned against you and judge them and do all these horrible things. But spiritual love always asks the question, is this profitable? Is this edifying? That's what spiritual love doesn't ask, what's my right? What's this going to do for me? Spiritual love says, is this profitable spiritually? Is this edifying spiritually? Will this bring them into a relationship with Christ? Relationship with the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love asks, is what I am about to do or am doing, is it profitable? Does it edify? And it doesn't mean profitable to you and edifying you. But is it profitable in the plan of God? Is it edifying in their spiritual relationship? Spiritual love always seeks, asks and seeks what's profitable, what edifies, which to this person's benefit spiritually. And sometimes you won't look very strong and you might look foolish. But that's why you're going to heaven. Because it didn't bother your Savior to look foolish. And to look very weak. Very weak on a cross. Nails to his hands hanging up there, nothing. That's pretty weak. That's pretty foolish. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What did it do? It saved you from eternal damnation in a lake of fire. That's pretty powerful. So we have to make a decision about ourselves and our lives and where we fit into the plan of God and what all of our human relationships are about. Every human relationship that we have. Go into a store and buy something. As casual as that. We have to get ourselves oriented that this world is not the kingdom. How I live in this world is not the issue. We're in a spiritual realm, and we're going to go to heaven. And we're going to be there forever. This dictates, direct. This is what spiritual love does. Closing the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we examine through Genesis chapter 22, we see the Father's side of the cross. The love demonstrated in offering your Son, your only Son whom you love, Jesus, as a sacrifice for our benefit. This type of love, Heavenly Father, is beyond understanding. Beyond understanding is that you pour the same love into us when we walk in your Spirit. Father, we are so grateful that we don't live under law, but we're so grateful you didn't leave us just not knowing what to do. but to be sent, the third member of the Godhead, to guide and to pour in this love that will guide us. We praise you for the God you are. We praise you, Heavenly Father, and we understand how important human relationships are to you. Therefore, they become important to us in the spiritual realm. Pray now, Father, that the Spirit will make these things clear to us, that we can go over these things in our mind, soul, and with each other, understand why spiritual life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.